जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, 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 गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीर बनजारी, यमुना तीर बनजारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा कुंज विहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा ना हरे हरे रामा, हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य हस्तोतरशत अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासदी गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। ऋषि राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवदीप धाम की जय। जगन्नाथपुरी की जय। गंगामय जमुनामय की जय। भक्ति देवी तुलसी देवी की जय। कलिक पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदी समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री गुरु और गौरांग की जय। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितमेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामय्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषण्यवादे पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। सो विल डिस्कस समथिंग अबाउट रिलेशनशिप। बलराम प्रभु सेड वी आर हैविंग अ टॉपिक ऑन हार्ट ऑफ रिलेशनशिप। सो देयर इज अ कन्फ्यूजन, हार्ट और आर्ट और स्मार्टनेस, नो? Because the relationship, especially when we are practicing devotional service, Krishna consciousness, even that has been divided into three categories in the Bhagavatam third canto. The great Kapila Muni in his Sankhya philosophy means trying to be going as analytical as possible, going deeper as possible. There is a general description and there is a deeper description. When we hear a general description and continue to maintain the general description and operate our life based on that, that leads to a lot of confusion. For example, when somebody believes, oh, this is a devotee, he is a devotee, she is a devotee, therefore they should come together. They are going through the general description. There is a deeper description of the personality also. There is different prakritis, and that affects for a person who is a very normal. A Shuddha Bhakta is beyond these things. But an ordinary devotee understands the definition of pure devotional service, but is not there. So he is still conditioned, or she is still conditioned. Therefore, Kapil Muni says there are three kinds of Shraddha or Bhakti. One is in Tamogun, one is in Rajogun, and one is in Sattvagun. What is the nature of Rajogun Bhakti? Tamogun relationship or Bhakti, the foundational principle of that psychology is separatism. To feel that I know everything better than others. They go by the principle of black and white, right and wrong. No? They simply go by the rules what have been described. They fail to apply. Separatism. And therefore violent in nature. Exclusivist. What is terrorist? Who is terrorist? Terrorist means he has deep Shraddha which is born out of Tamogun. And therefore he or she strongly believe that if you don't accept what I believe, you are a faithless person, you are an offensive person, and you don't deserve to stay here. So Shraddha is not evolved, it's in Tamogun. And at the same time there is a valor, power to destroy, Virata. But that valor is also born out of Tamogun only. For them valor is only to kill, to hurt, to offend. So when there is an unevolved Shraddha, and added to that limitless confidence, which is nothing but arrogance, so this combination makes them a terrorist. On the other hand, someone who is an evolved warrior like Arjuna, you know, there is limitless Shraddha in the principle of scripture. There is a deep relationship with his grandfather Bhishma. So he is not taking pleasure in killing. When Ravan was brought down on the battlefield, Valmiki Maharshi defines Lord Ramachandra as a samana shoka kakustaha. He experienced the same pain as much as Mandodari was experiencing or Vibhishan was experiencing. He did not take pleasure in bringing down Ravan because there was no other way to do. A warrior, a true warrior, he knows how to terminate somebody's life. At the same time, he has a great courage to help somebody to revive their life. He is not only a killer, he is life giver. So therefore, Tamogun Shraddha is what? To see Krishna nowhere other than in my own opinion, in my own understanding, in my way of doing things. Loyalty without wisdom is Tamogun. Therefore, in relationship also, when someone takes the superior position, just because they have a position, there is power, there is position, and there is a substance. So when a logic is derived based upon the position, then that will create a lot of turmoil and challenges. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, when you worship or relate to somebody out of fear, how long that will continue? Fear eventually gives rise to rebellion. Or sometimes devotees make their children chant Hare Krishna. If you chant Hare Krishna, I'll give you a bicycle. That is karmakand. No? So what happens when Hare Krishna goes away, bicycle remains? So that is relating to child with Krishna on the level of fruitive intentions. Giving them some kind of fruitive benefits. So therefore, Tamogun Bhakti is all about exclusivity, violent separatism. And then there is Rajogun. What is Rajogun Bhakti? Rajogun Bhakti is all about competition. You know, somebody brought deities in their house 2 feet. I need to bring it 2.2. Comparative religion, no comparison, because that's what we come from. Our background is, especially all the Indians when they come, I remember one mother had many mother, but I know about this because I deal with children. So she had placed in her wall, if you don't bring 98% in the exam, how will I show my face to other devotees? The background is the same, only the people have changed now. First it was the society, now the devotees. Therefore, Rajogun Bhakti is very competitive. And because there is a competition, it is but natural in that competition we try to create obstacle in others' growth so that their records do not go higher than mine. I remember One devotee was telling, when they used to distribute books, this was in Mumbai, so there was 5-6 parties traveling. So one party's devotee went and punctured other party's bus so that they can go late, so that we can distribute more books. Spardatmak, thriving through competition. And how do you know that you are doing better? Competition is always about not inner development. Your prosperity is based upon somebody else's lesser results. So that is also there in the, Kapil Muni explains, bhakti in the rajoguna. And bhakti in sattvaguna, he explains, bhakti in sattvaguna is based upon cooperation. I contribute in your growth, you contribute in my growth. In this way, when there is a harmony in regards to offering support to each other, sahakaratmak jivan, cooperative life, helps both the parties grow. Right. And beyond this sattvagun bhakti, there is shuddha sattva, nirguna bhakti. Nirguna yaniki, nirguna means not without any quality, nirguna means without, affected by the three modes of material nature. So just imagine, bhakti is pure, but because we are affected by the three modes of material nature, we execute our bhakti either in tamogun, rajogun or sattvagun. And what to speak of normal interaction in our relationships. Right. In normal interaction, therefore, there are four ways to interact. First one is exploitative relationship. Shoshanatmak sambandha. Shoshan means what? I take power based upon my position. I am the father, therefore I am superior. This is an assumption. No. I am a male, therefore I am superior. So, assuming position based upon what power I have. And therefore there is an exploitation. In this exploitative relationship, there is no equality. There is accepted superiority. It can survive. How long? What does it make? In exploitative relationship, the other party is undernourished. Is dysfunctional. There is no friendship. There is no growth. It's a slavery. And sometimes people become so addicted to being a slave. One slave, when he was delivered by his master, after a few days he went back, he said, I can't handle independence. Freedom is very dangerous for me. Please accept me back as a slave. We'll hear so many stories like that. People become accustomed to being exploited. Very unfortunate. Second kind of relationship is exploitation, and second is competitive. Now, therefore, the question is raised, who is superior, male or female? The scripture says, no, they have a different role to play. What a man does not play, woman plays. What woman does not play, man plays that role. There is a feminine energy and there is a masculine energy. Right. What is feminine energy? It is not that female only have feminine energy. Males also have feminine energy. Aesthetic sense, beauty, creativity, spontaneity. This is feminine energy. Magnanimity, compassion, forgiveness. What is masculine energy? Discipline, orderliness, structure, no, execution, justice. This is the masculine energy. Therefore, when we compete each other based upon our strength and somebody else's weakness, undermining. If somebody is slow, we call them lazy. If somebody is fast, we call them passionate. We make statements which, rather than encouraging, they discourage. He is very slow. He must be thoughtful. She must be thoughtful. Why say like that? So in competitive relationship, we have to undermine. Like in India, there was this television called as Onida. Their ad was, owner's pride and neighbor's envy. Like Duryodhan in the Mahabharata, his growth was not based upon his personal growth. His growth was based upon looking at the Pandavas, what are they doing? Even as the king, when he chased away the Pandavas to the forest, he went to see what the Pandavas are doing in the forest. Their suffering is my prosperity. Their suffering is my pleasure. The people who compete, basically they grow, but their growth is caused by continuous threat. Not healthy growth. No. Therefore, they are always in anxiety or depressed because somebody else will take away my position. Spardatmak. And the third is sahakaratmak, cooperative growth. In cooperative growth, I believe and agree with experience that what I can't contribute in this relationship, the other party will contribute. We are equal partners. Forget this between living entities. Even Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, for every action, Krishna is telling Arjuna there are five causes. Every action there are five causes. Four causes are the responsibility of the living entity. Place of action, instrument to perform that action, endeavor itself, and heart being involved in that. That is the responsibility of the jiva. And fifth is the responsibility of Paramatma, Daiva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My responsibility is 80%, 20% God's grace. Of course, that 20% of God's grace turns into 99%. And our efforts of 99%, the result is only 1%. But in action, we are greater contributor. So what to speak of in relationship? We see in this world many times, when people serve others, they expect that this person should be completely dedicated to me because I am dedicating to them. So there is an expectation. In serving, people get lost, and in receiving service, people get lost. Unconditional love. Nowadays, people talk about parents loving their children unconditionally. This unconditional love is very sentimental. It is not based on the scripture and logic, because it is not unconditional love, it is unconditional pampering. The child is lost in the pampering of the parents. The world does not pamper. World does not pamper you. I always tell this story in our temple community. One girl, she used to live with her family. Now she is grown up, she has a son also. So she would come to Raghunath Swami Maharaj with her report card every year. No. And in that report card, she would always excel, she would always come first, and she would hear that typical mantra, well done, keep it up. So one time he asked her, why is that you always come first? If you are conditioned to come first all the time, life is not designed like that. Sometime you have to lose. In relationship, those who always win, they are the most unfortunate people. Because they become conditioned to winning, when they are hit by a defeat, they feel so much upset and angry. Therefore, in relationship, one should consciously also should lose. That is what cooperation means. No? In the Bhagavatam 4th canto, Prabhupada explains the story of Prithu Maharaj and Indra. Indra performed 100 yajnas, and Prithu Maharaj also wanted to do 100 yajnas. When he completed 99 yajnas, Indra created so much of trouble, you know, hiding the horse, disguising himself in so many different sadhus form. Then eventually Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu came and told Prithu Maharaj, let him take the credit of having 100 yajnas. You don't break that record. You don't satisfy based on number, you satisfy based upon the substance behind that performance. Let him be happy with that 100 yajna. I am satisfied with your 99 yajnas. And Prithu Maharaj did not resist or fight. He said, if Lord Narayan is happy, why should I? So he had the power to cooperate. And when Prithu Maharaj agreed to cooperate, what happened with Indra? Indra came down. He was very happy with Prithu Maharaj. Right. So the disparity was not so big deal. One yajna difference. If Indra told that Prithu cannot perform any sacrifice, that is being unreasonable. And many times happens like this. Especially in regards to relationship between parents and children, the unconditional love which has been given to child is a very counterproductive. Therefore, the psychology says, Shastra says, there has to be tough love. Sometime win, sometime loss. Sometime you get to eat what you like, sometime you don't get to eat what you like. But whatever has been cooked, you have to eat. So cooperation means I don't get lost in relationship, rather I grow in relationship. I'm a contributor in relationship. Like this so-called animal rights people, their love for animal is so much, they think that animals depend too much on us. No, whether it is horse, whether it is a cow, whether it is a cat, whether it is a dog, for them to feel they are worthy, they also want to contribute in relationship. Never make somebody feel that they are useless, they only have to receive from others. You know, relationship is not vertical, relationship is circular. Therefore it is called as Paraspara Bhava. Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita, again in the third chapter, when he created this entire universe, he told all the jivas, perform the sacrifice. By performance of the sacrifice, the particular devatas will provide you the necessities of life. In this way, there is a cooperation. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam purport, over dependence on others' mercy has become cause of short lifespan. Right, all dependence. Dependency is slavery. Independence is arrogance. Interdependence is culture. That is what our scriptures talk about. Interdependency. Sahakaratmak jivan. Otherwise the relationship is unreasonable, illogical, unscientific. And the fourth one is, looks like Shoshanatmak, but it is not Shoshanatmak. It is dedication. Samarpanatmak. How Samarpanatmak is different from the Shoshanatmak? In Shoshan, I am exploited. In Samarpan, I am inspired. Just like starving and fasting. When you starve, you become diseased. When you choose to fast, you get nourished. Action is the same, but the process is different. In the typical educational system, the teacher would not worry for the salary, the society would take care of him. So that he would teach indiscriminately, without discriminating poor, rich, whoever would come to him. He is not worried about collecting fees from them because somebody else would take care of his necessities of life. Like a doctor would not directly collect from the patient. A teacher would not directly collect from the student. Because they should be able to practice the principle of no partiality. But how can they do no partiality unless somebody is taking care of their life also? They also need to sustain. They would not take salary, doesn't mean that nobody was taking care of them. Somebody would take care of them, but the people who would come to them, they were not the one responsible for helping their growth. So the samarpanatmak means I choose to do something good. And shoshanatmak means I am forced to do something. Action sounds the same. A mother is serving her family. You know, Mandodari, it is explained in the Ramayana. Her marriage was a failure, but she was a successful wife. Very interesting. Her marriage was a failure because for a marriage to be successful, the husband also has to contribute. Wife also has to contribute. One person being relentlessly doing from her or his side, that is not a successful marriage. For marriage to be successful, both the party has to contribute. So Mandodari did her job being of a wife, but the marriage did not function because Ravan did not do his side of the role. Therefore, samarpan means what? I do my duty. A teacher's role is to teach as nicely as possible. But teacher is not responsible for the student to learn. He is only responsible for teaching. Learning is student's responsibility. Teaching is teacher's responsibility. Therefore, when we play our role, if you study Gita 3rd chapter, what does Krishna teach? In the entire Bhagavad Gita, nowhere other than in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gave an indication to Arjuna about victory. Otherwise, Krishna only focused to Arjuna on performing his duty without expecting any result. That is called as dedication. That means what? That doesn't mean that I allow myself to be exploited. The part of the role which mother, father, or teacher are playing, their responsibility also to discipline the student. But after disciplining the student, if they do not take the discipline properly, the teacher does not stop teaching. He continues to dedicate in the process of teaching. Doesn't say, oh, because nobody learned, what is the point in teaching, I quit. They do not quit their duties. They do not condemn their position of that place where they are practicing from. Like Arjuna did that. He continued to dedicate. Even when he heard the news of the departure of his son, Abhimanyu, being killed, he did not give up the duty of being a Kshatriya, dedicated. But on the other hand, Dronacharya, a great teacher, he was not fighting for the purpose of dedication, he was fighting for the purpose of profit. And he told the Pandavas in the beginning that I am fighting on behalf of the Kurus because I am the servant of Artha. Main Artha ka dasu, I become servant of Artha. Artha is nobody's servant, so therefore I bless you to win, but I fight for Duryodhan. So when he heard the news of the death of his son, who was basically Chiranjivi, but by propaganda, he was convinced that his son is dead. Just imagine the power of newspapers. No? The great Dronacharya knew that his son is immortal in one sense. But when he heard from Bhima, when he heard from Yudhishthir Maharaj, he dropped his weapons. He was not dedicated to the cause. He was attached to his son and he dropped his weapons. But Arjuna did not do that. Arjuna's son was so much affectionate. Therefore, somebody asked Prabhupada, how is that Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita and still crying when Arjuna's son died? He said, that is natural. If he didn't cry, there is a problem. No. Just after hearing Bhagavad Gita doesn't mean that we become bereft of emotions. But emotions do not hijack us. You know, crying is natural. You know, Arjuna had affection for his son, but he continued to perform his duty. Therefore, performing duty is samarpan. I act because, Yudhishthira Maharaj said in the Mahabharata, I act because it is my need to act. That is my need to act. I am dedicated to my cause. So therefore, this four principle, Shoshanatmak, Spardatmak, Sahakaratmak, and Samarpanatmak. These are the four ways how we relate to each other, to God, and to the society in general. In Tamogun, in Sattvogun, in Rajogun. As much as our relationship is in Sattvogun, that is more cooperative. As much our relationship is in Rajo and Tamo, that much it is conflicting, violent, separatist, and confusing. This is a scientific, logical, and mathematical process. We can't say, why it's happening like this. No, see the laws of God. The laws of God are saying, this is the mathematics. If you make this way, then it will be a dysfunctional relationships. So relationship subject is very vast. You know, but we have, what time we stop? 8 o'clock, no? So we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Stop, Ramprabhu. Any questions? You don't have to match fix for asking questions. Huh?
In the starting of the lecture, you mentioned the bhakti in mode of ignorance. Mm-hmm. And you said that there is a differentiation like black and white. This is correct and this is wrong. Then how can we say it's not differentiation than black and white? Like, does it not differentiation like choosing what is wrong and what is right?
Therefore, choosing what is right and what is wrong itself is very wrong according to the Bhagavatam 11th canto in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yehi bhadra, yehi manda. You know, in the 11th canto says, because your perspective is very limited. My perspective is very limited. What I hear is also affected by my limited knowledge. So therefore, when I hear something, I process it based upon what I know, what I understand. And therefore, why there is conflict, even amongst the devotees. People quote Prabhupada's books only. Both have the Prabhupada's books. Somebody is saying this is truth. Somebody is saying this is truth. Right? Fresh. It's everything is there. But still there is a conflict in regards to how you understand.
So then what will be the decision like? Even we have to make a decision, we have to choose one of it.
Yeah, so therefore when you choose for yourself, your experience is your experience. When you make your experience into truth, you know, if somebody comes and tells, oh, I had a bad experience in the temple. No, how can you say like that? What do? We suddenly challenge his experience, thinking it's wrong. that could be the experience. Sometime when he goes to a temple, you know, first time he is coming or she is coming and their shoes are stolen. That bad experience. And sometime a new person comes and suddenly gets the best of the rabdi. You understand? So therefore, they may fight or, oh, no, it was a great experience. That was his experience. Other persons had a bad experience. We don't even give attention to what they are saying. We conclude. No? Understand, in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the verse, first, 10th verse of the Gita, when Duryodhana is speaking to Dronacharya, what did he say? That my army protected by grandfather Bhishma. What is it? What is that word? It says that sufficient, aparyaptam and paryaptam. Now word aparyaptam means limited and also without any limitation. Very word aparyaptam means both sufficient and limitless. And paryaptam means what? Again, opposite understanding. The word, Sanskrit word, has a exactly opposite meaning for the same word. So some of the Tikacharyas, Acharyas explain that Duryodhana, when he saw the army of the Kauravas, externally his army was greater than the Pandavas' army. Therefore he said, my army protected by Bhishma is greater than the Pandavas' army. But internally he knew that my army protected by Bhishma, who has taken a vow not to kill the Pandavas. My army protected by Drona has taken a promise not to kill the Pandavas. My army protected by Karna, he has taken promise not to fight till 10 days, till Dronacharya Bhishma Dev falls. And apparently got to know also that he is not going to kill four brothers. You know? So Duryodhana was surrounded by those people who are fighting for him, but not fighting for the real reason, killing the Pandavas. So what happened? So there was an inner conflict and an external display of confidence. On the other hand, Bhima, he had not made such resolution, I will not kill the Kauravas. He said, I will kill every one of the Kauravas. No? So therefore, who is better? So there is a conflict, inner conflict and external conflict. So the point we are discussing, it is the very nature of the conditioned soul to feel that I am privileged, I am better, what I know is better than what others know. And therefore, he becomes very black and white. But life is not black and white. You know, therefore we need satsang, we need guidance, we need to discuss. Therefore when Lord Buddha's follower, when they chose to write about him, very interesting. So they followed one rule. What was the rule? The rule was, it is not what our guru said, it's about what I understood according to my ability. In the Bhagavatam 3rd canto, Maitreya Rishi explains to Vidura, as much as my capacity and my understanding, I will explain to you. So that humility, what does it do? It allows you to hear your fellow devotees' opinion also. Otherwise, we become the flag bearer of the truth. And then we break a rule of, again the scripture, 11th canto Bhagavatam, it is explained, truth should be spoken. Truth should be spoken in this way, it should be pleasing. And truth should be spoken in this way, it is not harming others. But what do? We only focus on speaking the truth. Whether it harms others, whether it benefits others, we don't care. Like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, one should not eat in front of the deities. That is one rule. But the other rule is that one should not chastise somebody in front of the deities. Many times it happens, somebody is eating and some other devotee comes and chastises. He is following one rule while breaking the second rule. Life is not easy like that. So therefore, when you hear, as I say, when you hear something in the beginning, it sounds very easy. But as you grow, then you realize, oh, this is not as easy as it appeared. You understand? So therefore, black and white. Chanting Hare Krishna, there is black and white. You can't say, okay, should I chant Hare Krishna or some other mantra? As a Vaishnava follower of, you know, Vaishnava Krishna Bhakti, we chant Hare Krishna. There is no compromise in that. But somebody is not initiated, you force him to chant 16 rounds. Then what happens? That becomes violence. Therefore, somebody said, scriptures are like cow. If you are not a coward boy, instead of milk, the blood will come. The udder are like the thoughts, the verses of the scripture. But if you don't know how to milk the cows, you know cow gives best of the milk. You want to milk the cows, but you are not expert in milking the cows. What will happen? Instead of milk, the blood will come out. That is the point. So therefore, tamogun bhakti means separatist, violent, exclusivist, thinking that I know better than others. So that creates a trouble. Hare Krishna. Yes.
So Prabhu, I understood from your class that you spoke about relationships in three modes, like ignorance, passion and goodness, and in the end you just spoke about there is a relationship in mode is beyond the mode of goodness, like should sattva relationship. So as conditioned souls, we are always either in any of these modes and we project our relationships onto those modes we are governed by, but ultimately the point is that we all have to rise up to the mode of goodness kind of relationships. But you also said that in mode of goodness relationship, you serve each other so that both the parties are nourished, right? So in every relationship, there is an expectation you are serving someone and then you expect something out of that relationship. So how do we take it to the another level where we don't have any expectations in our service and it should be all beyond the mode of goodness?
Yeah, we begin by learning knowledge. You know, if we don't have the knowledge, the nature is to expect. But the learning Gita says that when there is expectation, there is pain. When Yudhishthira Maharaj also, he would never in his life spoke ill words to anybody. You know, never. Even to Duryodhana, he never spoke. But one day when Arjuna came looking for his brother's welfare, he didn't find Yudhishthira Maharaj on the battlefield. They would recognize that the flag is not there, that means that the soldier is gone, attained virgati. So Arjuna became very disturbed. I am not able to see my brother's flag. He told Krishna, let us go and see, something must have happened to my brother. Krishna said, okay. Krishna always followed. He brought his chariot in the camp for Arjuna to give up the battlefield in the middle and come looking for his brother. It was very unusual. So when Arjuna was, when Yudhishthira saw Arjuna, he became happy because he was tormented by Karna, not only defeated but insulted very badly. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was expecting that Arjuna had killed Karna and therefore he has come to give this message. But Arjuna had come to see Yudhishthira Maharaj's welfare. When he saw him, when he got to know that Arjuna has not killed Karna, Yudhishthira became disturbed. He said, what is the point in depending on you? I should have depended on Vidur, on Nakul. That's an insult. You know, comparing Arjuna's prowess to Nakula, Arjuna did not mind it. He spoke a lot of ill words. Then he also said, I think my mother should have aborted you when you were in her womb, 5th month. Yudhishthira is saying this. Expectation not fulfilled gives rise to anger. This is a law. It doesn't matter who it is. Arjuna did not mind it. When he said, hell with your Gandiva, throw that Gandiva in some dustbin, Then Arjuna's passion also rose because he had certain expectation from people about his Gandhi Babu. So therefore the Bhagavatam explains the modes always thrive. Sometime Rajo is superior, sometime Tamo is superior, sometime Sattva is superior. So faltering is not a problem, but staying there only all the time is a problem. When you learn to ride bicycle, it is but natural that there is no one in this world, I don't know, most people fall while riding the bicycle. But eventually they come there, you know, they feel surprised, wow, I'm able to balance. You know, so similarly, the fight of Sattva, Rajo, Tama will continue to happen. You know, but knowing, therefore Krishna says, one who is situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, only he can cross over. Therefore, reading scripture systematically, discussing Shastra systematically is very important for sharpening our understanding. Once the understanding becomes proper, then implementation of that understanding also becomes very easy. Now, therefore, if you study in the scripture, why Krishna focuses so much on doing your swadharma, swadharma, swadharma? Why swadharma? Because when you are doing your swadharma, you know I am not doing it for others, I am doing it for my own thing because it is my need. So you don't feel that maine itna kiya, I did so much. No, it is my need. Nobody should ever say that I did so much for others. That is a victim consciousness. You know, it's a very painful reality. You did everything because you liked it and eventually somebody did not reciprocate. We say, oh, I did so much and they did not. It's like making beautiful fire and then pouring, instead of ghee, you know, dirty water by our regret. Because my need. Why did I come to Krishna consciousness? Because I wanted to. Because my parents wanted. Yes, in the beginning they wanted, maybe. But eventually it has to become my property. I want to love Krishna. Why you want to love Krishna? No, because my parents said. That is not prem. That is basically some following of superior, you know, submission to superiors. Therefore, Arjuna was very clear. Arjuna did not fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra because Krishna wanted him to do. It was Arjuna's need. And fortunately it happened to be Krishna's cause also establishing dharma. Krishna never forces anybody to do anything which is not their swadharma. And when you do swadharma, when you play the role of mother, when you play the role of the father, when you play the role of, you know, teacher, I wanted to be a teacher, I wanted to be a father. So you don't take the credit for doing something good to others. That is how expectations become less and less. Otherwise, if I am doing something hoping that others should glorify me, give me credit, and when that does not come, then people go to depression. No? So therefore, Sattva Guna Bhakti is what? It's a cooperative bhakti. I do it because I want to do it. Rajon Guna Bhakti, Bhagavatam explains, Gita explains, 17th chapter, the nature of Rajogun, there is expectation, and expectation gives rise to pain. That is a mathematics, simple. When you get pain, you should know that I am in Rajogun. If you don't get pain, you should know either you are Sattvagun or in Tamogun. Because Sattva and Tamo, sometimes they look same only. Tamogun person is a shameless person. Doesn't matter only, fail, pass, doing something, not doing something, doesn't matter. So therefore, sometime, what we call, what is contentment, may be laziness. Cowardice could be called as humility. Arrogance could be called as confidence. Passion can be seen as enthusiasm. So therefore, even Tamo, Rajo and Sattva, you know, they can trick us if we don't clearly understand. So therefore, how do you know what is Sattva, what is Rajo, what is Tamo? One is my own feeling and asking others, what is it? Ye tamo hai, sattva hai. And they may say, no, it is nothing but tamo, but taking the, you know, covering of sattva. Therefore, expectation unfulfilled pain is there, rajo. That is quite simple. No? Sometimes people say, forget now, why you fight? Because they don't have the guts to fight. And therefore they are using the philosophy. You know, what Arjuna was doing, basically, he is covering his weakness of the heart by using the philosophy what he had learned in his Guru's Ashram Vedas. What will I gain? You know, what is this point? So much of violence will take place. But Krishna could see there is a weakness of the heart. He is using his tamo by flavoring the philosophy to that. So Krishna chastised him. He said, where this contamination has come about? That's the point. It's a deep subject, but studying them, spending time with scriptures, understanding deeply, and then again, another interesting point is, nobody takes responsibility of our growth. They facilitate our growth. Nobody takes responsibility of our pain. Valmiki Maharshi, originally when he came to his wife, she said, I don't take. We never learn that lesson only. We think that somebody will take responsibility of my life. If somebody gives you wrong instruction, whose fault is it? 100% fault of ours because we followed the wrong instruction. And 100% their fault because they gave wrong instruction. So they get 100% karma for giving wrong instruction and we get 100% karma for following the wrong instructions. So do not take, you know, oh, it was not my fault. No, it's your fault. Prabhupada said, if you go to a vegetable shop and somebody sells you diamond, he is cheating you. That's bad karma. But you're getting cheated. It's your stupidity. Aapko bhi lagega karma. Another time he said, if somebody cheats you once, that is their problem. If they cheat twice, that's your problem. No? So understand the principle of karma cycle. One of the reason why people blame, like that story of two twins, their father was a drunkard. And then both grew up. One became very responsible citizen of a country and other continued to remain a burden to the country. So they asked both of them, why are you like this? Both gave the same answer. What was it? What do you expect after having such a father? The drunkard son also said the same statement and the sober son also said the same statement. The words were the same, but their attitude was different. One felt, you know, my father having such a father, I need to grow. Other son was continuing the legacy of the father, playing helpless victim. So in this world, many times we play helpless victim. No, society is responsible for my problem. This devotee is responsible for my problem. This devotee told me to do this thing in my younger age of Krishna consciousness and therefore I did. Yes, he is responsible for giving a wrong instruction. But blaming him, hoping that he will rectify your life, is your stupidity. Because you have to stand on your own feet, understanding it's a great learning lesson not to listen to any Tam, Dick and Harry saying any nonsense and following them. Somebody tells you to jump from the building. You know, just chant Narsing Arati and jump. You have to say, first you show, then I will jump. Simple. Because if you do that, what will happen? It will break your bones. You chant Hare Krishna and don't brush your teeth. What will happen? Chanting Hare Krishna will benefit you. But not brushing the teeth will make you to go to the dental doctor. Material side, the skill to grow is required, and spiritual side skill has to be dealt differently. Chanting Hare Krishna will give money to only two people, Srivas Thakur and you know, in Bombay there are this eunuchs standing and doing like this. No, otherwise everybody has to work hard. So when there are certain wrong assumptions, who is responsible? I am responsible because I want easy way out to grow in life. Those who want easy way to grow out, they will be cheated very badly. So therefore, they are as responsible as those who are giving wrong instruction. Once again, I will conclude. they are 100% responsible for giving wrong instruction, they will get that karma. But I am 100% responsible for listening to wrong instruction. No sympathy will be shown. If I put my hand in the fire because somebody told me, it will burn. Whose hand? Not his hand, my hand will burn because I place my hand in the fire. This is as simple as that. Therefore, what Krishna is teaching in the Gita, karma means take responsibility and learn from it and empower yourself and grow and become full of knowledge, full of eternality and full of bliss, because that is my property. You know, being full of knowledge, full of bliss, full of eternality is Jiva's eternal position. Nobody can take it away. Others, what do? They give us learning, they give us education, they encourage us, they empower us. You know, it's mera property, it's my birthright. Like Bal Gangadhar Tilak said, independence is my birthright and I will get it by any means. Similarly, bliss is my eternal right, not only birthright. So I need to get it. So therefore, who has to take responsibility? Jiva has to take responsibility. Like if somebody tells you about mango, however beautifully he explains about mango, he cannot give me the experience of mango unless I taste it. Somebody asked Prabhupada, have you seen God? He said, what difference does it make whether I saw God or not? Because me seeing God does not change your life unless you see God. Therefore, take this process of chanting Hare Krishna, reading the scripture, associating with devotees, visiting the holy place, worshipping the deities, then you will also experience the sweet mango of bhakti ras. I will not experience that rasa. I keep hearing about that rasa. Oh great, eat na. No, I don't want to eat. I will experience through somebody else only. What will happen? We will continue to stay here and hear about the rasa tattva, but not jump into that rasa. We'll stop here. It's weekday. Thank you for your kind attention and giving me an opportunity. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.